Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I'll be fine. Need to just toughen up, Buttercup.
I'm dressed all good in your Indian attire.
You just can't let that India thing go, Will, can you? I mean, my God. If it's not makeup he's putting on me, it's bindis and India attire. Cool.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Are you boys ready?
Yeah.
How are we?
Good.
Welcome to another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer.
Welcome.
We're not in India. We promised we would do one in India. We got a bit carried away with Ashram.
I think we were just having too much fun up in Rishikesh.
It was lovely, wasn't it?
It was great. One of the guys that was with us was a bit of a Beatles expert, and when we got down to the Beatles Ashram, he was able to talk us through the whole thing. It was quite magical.
So lovely,
Did you do that?
I didn't do it this time. I did it remember that time we spent like 8 hours wandering around Rishikesh trying to find the Ashram.
The Beatles Ashram.
But I was at the cafe, the Beatles cafe, and he was going through the whole story. Right. It was amazing. He was lovely, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So good.
I got to see Stevie Nicks on Thursday night. Are you on Thursday night?
Yeah, I'm going with Renas.
Do you want to join me in this?
No.
You can go, yeah, right. Come on.
No, you sing it. You're in charge of the theme tunes.
No, I've just done it now. So what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, what we're going to talk about is kids, actually, because one of our...
The little shits?
No. Well, sometimes. One of our clients when we were in India... She said, you guys really need to do some more information about kids. And I'm like, why? And she said, well, you guys are really good with kids. Yeah. And, Mitch seems like he's just such a great dad and you're so good with kids. And it was good to hear.
Yeah.
But also I think we need to shed a little bit of light on that as well.
It was a lot of young people. Not to say that I'm
old. I was going to say, am I not young?
Well, that were on the trip with us and... some of them were talking about having kids soon and stuff like that. And it's interesting when this client said to me, you should do some stuff on kids because, you've really come across as such a good dad. Because the minute that was said to me, I'm like, do I really come across? Because sometimes I feel like such a crap dad, I feel like, oh my God, I'm getting it so wrong. I can't believe I just said that to them. Oh my God, that's going to damage them for life. Should I, how do I handle this? And there's a couple of things that,
is a good dad?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, a good father is determined by, your ability to be responsible for yourself. I think that we kids bring up all of our stuff. They really, really do.
Totally.
Like my kids bring up all of my childhood unfinished business, all the stuff I never worked out, all the things that I thought I had, I'd escaped or I'd suppressed, they literally bring all that stuff up for you to deal with it. And, right from like one of my daughters has been perceived, she's been bullied at the moment. And, I was both the bully and I was both bullied when I was a kid. And trying to navigate my way through getting her to talk, to be able to handle the situation. Because the only reason a kid gets bullied is first off because they're bullying. And secondly, because there's a part of them needs to learn how to step up and stand up and use their words and be able to communicate. Now my daughter Lexi's well able to handle herself, like she's 98%. Her height for her age. So she's taller than all the other kids in the class. And then, so I've been boxing with her since she was about two, like she's seven now. So she'd level anybody if there was a problem. not that 7-year-olds are going to have a physical problem in the schoolyard. But it as much my objective, I was lying in bed with her last night and she's lying there and we're talking and she's saying, I said, okay, tell me what's going on. And she's explaining what's happening. And she said, and this person over here is bullying me and this person over here is bullying me. And then I said to her, okay, have you ever bullied anybody, Lexi? And she's like, yeah, I suppose I've bullied Lola and I suppose I've, I said, do you think you might have bullied me? And she's like, yeah, I suppose I have. And I said, so in terms of this kid bullying you, is there something going on for the kid? And it turns out that there was, and Lexi was really aware of what was going on for the kid.
Yeah.
And I said, and do you think that in some way she's just having anger outbursts, but she actually loves you? She says, I know she loves me, but she gets really angry with me. And I said, is she just being angry because of what happened? And she said, yeah, I suppose. Well, then you got to say to her, you got to stand up and say to her, you know, it's not okay if you're angry,
for you to take it
talk to me
out
about me. Why you're angry, but it's not okay for you to speak to me like that. And I don't want to be around you when you talk to me like that. Now, I know that hoping that Lexi's going to go to school and exercise that level of diplomacy is probably wishful thinking. And I think in some way, you know, I'm also talking to myself because it's also about how I have to be able to handle, you know, the bully inside of me and the person that's being bullied. That, you know, we got to know how to communicate and step up for ourselves. But we got to have not in doing that, we got to understand that it's about compassion and empathy and love and understanding. And there are some really important qualities that the children have, and they want to be able to, you want to be able to nurture them out of them. Because, you know, it's very easy to, you know, I remember I'd gone up to the headmaster of the school because I perceived that one of the teachers was having a go at Lexi.
And this is their old school.
Their old school.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting with the headmaster and I said, listen, Lexi has told me that this is going on with the teacher. And she said to me, oh, Mr. Bean, we all become lions and lionesses when it comes to our children. And my response was, don't patronise me with that line. I'm telling you there's something going on with my child. And I expect that you guys are going to be able to sort it out in the classroom. One of the teachers, she said, is giving her a hard time. If you don't sort it out, I'm going to sort it out. You don't want me to sort it out. You probably need to sort it out. So at that point, she was like, okay, now that was not me bullying, but it was me getting my point across that there was something happening. And if I need to pull out the part of me that needs to be able to deal with that, well, then I need to understand that that's in me. And it's the same with Lexi. She needs to understand that there's a point that she has, if she has to be forceful and she has to get her point across, then she has to do that. But love, compassion and empathy come first. And I've got to be able to nurture them out of her.
So in terms of, let's go back then to being a good dad and what being a dad in those situations, or a mum, obviously I'm talking to you, so we're talking about being a dad, but this is all of everything we're going to say is related to being a mum as well.
Yeah.
But being a good parent, what does that mean in, like, for, you know, I think people have the illusion that being a good parent means that I've always got to get it right. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always got to be on track. I've got to be present with my kids. I've got to get everything 100% right, feed them the right thing all the time, be present with them all the time. And it's an illusion to think that you can do that. It's an illusion to think that you can be 100% on the ball all of the time with your kids. It's just not possible.
I know. And from all of the work that we've done, you know, there is a realization that the thing, you can't get it right all the time. But if you got it right all the time, then there would be no room for growth in you or no room for growth in the kid. So we, by necessity, we need to perceive like we haven't got it right. And it's the best way to look at that is to understand that in not getting it right, you actually get it right. Do you know what I mean? In not getting it right, the thing that you don't give the child, somebody else gives them. So, because all life is balanced. So something always turns up. If you're not giving them the love and the compassion that they need, they're always getting it from
They might get it the other parent.
Or the other, daughter. And so you're always, in not getting it right, you actually get it right. And, you know, I've come to an understanding over time that you actually can't get it wrong either. You know, there is no right, there is no wrong. You just got to do the best that you can do.
So, like, if that's the case, and I mean, that's a big thing for parents to get, right? And the real reason, in my view, that that's a really big thing for parents to get is because it's very, very, very confronting for them to feel like, oh, I can't get it right and I can't get it wrong. It's just how I am is enough. Because it also means that looking back at their parents, what happened to them in their childhood would have been enough.
Yeah.
So it's an overwhelming thing. But what's the point then? What's the point of having a conversation about good parenting or whatever if that's the case? And for me, the point of having that conversation is that at the end of the day, we're all here because we want to do our very best. Yep. We want to be the best example of a person we can be.
Yep.
And at the same time, we want to be the best example of a parent that we can be. So for if you have that understanding of, you know, whatever I do with this kid, it's going to be okay. This kid is going to be all right.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't remove the responsibility, because a lot of people think, oh, well, then what's the point of me even trying? Do you know what I mean? If I can't do anything wrong, I can't do anything right, what's the point of trying? The truth about it is that people are even listening to this podcast because they want to know better. They want to do better. They want to be able to grow. And I think that
you don't listen to this stuff to want to get it wrong.
Wrong, exactly. Exactly. So the point is that, okay, well, there's it's all about being the best example of you that you can be. And it's about understanding that your child is designed to mirror back to you your unloved parts.
Yeah.
So if your child is being in a particular way, that understanding that your child is not giving you a hard time, they're having a hard time, that's a different perspective.
I know, but that's difficult when you yell at your kid, right? You're fucking more traumatized than they are.
Of course.
5 minutes later, they're like, well, whatever, it doesn't matter, and they're laughing and joking with you. But you're like, oh, my God, I'm so fucking traumatized.
Yeah, you know,
I shouldn't have yelled at her in that tone. I shouldn't have yelled at her at that level, you know, or I shouldn't have given out to him. I shouldn't have snatched the ball off him. Because you're more fucking traumatized than they are. So your kids are really there to make you look at you.
Yes.
You know, why am I? What, you know, there's a great line from the conscious parent, Dr. Shivali, where she says, you know, your kids don't get to be the canvas upon which you work your crap out. You know, and that's what happens a lot. You know, because parents just want their kids to live this life that they perceive they never got to live. You know, I want them to get their education. I want them to learn violin. I want them to, you know, go to sport. Well, what does the kid want to do? You know, because if you're getting them to do something that they don't want to do, well, then you're encouraging them to be unhappy. And the only reason you're trying to get them to do something that they want to do is that that's your stuff. That's you imposing your stuff on top of your kid. And when you impose your stuff on top of your kid, they only become unhappy.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we all fall victim to that stuff, you know? Like, Lexi at school was struggling with words, and I could see she wasn't focusing, and I'm like getting all frustrated, and I'm taking her by the hand, I'm sitting her down in her room, and I'm read this stuff, and then, you know, there's a part of me just went, just, man, if she's not meant to read properly until she's 7 or 8 years old, it's okay. Mitch, you still can't read properly. And then I realized, you know, this is just my stuff. You know, I got through life, you know, partly dyslexic, you know, never, because I just, it wasn't my thing. You know, all I wanted to do was be out in the street. I just wanted to be out playing, running amok, having a good time. That's what I wanted to do. And my dad, on the other hand, was like, no, you've got to get your education. You've got to get your trade. You'll never make it in the world. You'll end up poor, And that was how he handled it, and jammed that down my neck. And then, so, and in those times, I was really unhappy. I was really distant from my father. I really felt like he was this person that I, and my dad's amazing. I felt like he was this person that I hated. You know, what a terrible thing to say, but I did. I felt, my God, I hate you. Why are you making life so hard for me? I just want to be a kid, you know? And then what, you know, the funny thing was that one day I was going through this process, this cycle with Lexi, and she stopped. She was about 5 and a half, and she looked at me and said to me, Dad, I'm just a little kid. And I was like, fuck, you know, screw you, Lexi, you know. But it really made me sit back and think, wow, you are just a little kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was one of the reasons why we took her out of mainstream school, you know, and out of that system and put her into a Montessori school. And it was because we needed, it wasn't her strength to do that. But, you know, the funny thing is, only on Monday I went down to drop her off and at school, and the teacher pulled me aside and she said to me, my God, she said, Lexi has gone from here to here with her reading. She's gone from here to here with her spelling.
She's a totally transformed kid, isn't she?
Really? She goes, mate, she has gone from here to here. She said, her retention rate, her spelling, look at her handwriting, which this is the handwriting of a 9-year-old. Lexi is 7. She said, she's really excelled. So it was kind of like when I let go, you know, and just let her learn at her own pace and handed it over to the professionals and stopped and realised that I was just
trying to put your stuff onto her.
It was my shit, dude. Yeah. It was my shit. It was my stuff from when I was a kid and went through all of that stuff. And the reason, becoming a father, when that happens as a kid, you think, I'm never going to do that to my kid. But I think you have to go through that stuff with your kid to realize that when your dad was doing it to you, he fucking loved you. He loved me, and I had to go through that to realize, I love you, Lexi, and I am going to back off, and I am going to, and let's do some reading, but let's make it fun. I'm not going to get annoyed. I'm not going to get angry. And let's make it something that you think is magic. Let's make it something that when it's happening and when you're doing it, you just love it, And now, honestly, Mills, she comes home and she pulls her homework out and she loves it. Like, she's sick at home today and asked me to get some reading from her teacher. I mean, and then the teacher then says to me, now Lola, on the other hand, right, and I'm like, yeah, she goes, Lola, she said, well, we're having some difficulty with Lola. As you're aware, Mitch, Lola has a very, very strong personality. And when she gets a word wrong, she actually tells me I'm the one that's getting the word wrong.
Lola would tell you a purple flower was blue.
No, that's green, that flower. She said, no, she's saying to me, that's not the letter Y, that's the letter U. And the teacher's like, no, it's the letter Y. She goes, no, that's the letter U. I know, because my daddy told me that that's the letter U. So maybe a dyslexic person shouldn't be doing the spelling with your kids.
So I think that the important thing, though, that to note is that I think parenting is about understanding that your kids are their own people.
Yeah.
It's like you putting your stuff in the way is just counterproductive to having them blossom in the way that they're meant to be blossoming. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that it's just so easy to want the best for our kids because, for example, for you, you felt like you couldn't read, so you want your kid to be able to read.
Yeah.
But then as soon as you let go, like you said, everything.
But she found her groove because if I'm making her unhappy on trying to get her to read, then she's going to be unhappy in skateboarding or in hanging with her friends or being creative because she's become unhappy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? But when I let go, she was happy to pick it up herself. She embraced the challenge. She loves it.
Like
She loves learning. And which is really, really, I could have really fucked it up there. And I didn't because I caught myself going, Mitch, this is your stuff, dude. You're behaving like this. And that's fueled by your past, and you know better. And I did know better. But I think I had to just make the mistake anyway, as part of the process of understanding who I was.
And in the end, it's not a mistake because that helps you to check in and to learn.
Yeah, we have to trip up and fall, dude. We have to, and it's okay to trip up and fall. It's okay to perceive like you're screwing it up, That's a natural part of being a parent,
And to me, it's like if you didn't have that concern, then it seems like you don't care. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And in you having the concern, or am I doing it right, it makes you think and it makes you aware of how you can improve and how you can grow and how you can work on yourself better the next time, So it's never about what's going on for the kid.
Yeah.
It's like I remember one of our clients saying to us, my kid said to me, I don't listen. And I know that I listen better than my mum, but then I realized that I actually wasn't listening. Yeah. She was trying to tell me something and I hadn't been listening. And it's the same. It's like when our kids are showing us something, they're not showing us what's happening for them. They're showing us what's going on for us.
Yeah.
And they're reflecting that to us.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, we all listen in terms of our values. If Lexi was talking to me about boats, then I'll listen. Yeah, talking to me about cars, then I'll listen. But when Lexi's talking to me about Pikachu, I'm like, But that's about me learning how to actually listen. And it's, when they're trying to get you to listening is about sitting down and absolutely saying nothing.
It's about being with them.
Yeah, and being with them. And then not feeling like after they finish talking, you have something to say, you know, is the art of going, okay, you know, and not, you know, and then when you're ready to talk to them about whatever they were talking about, then do that, you know. And I just want to say that in terms of, you know, when I was lying in bed next to Lex, my objective tonight when I go home to talk to her about this bullying thing, because we're still trying to navigate through it. My objective is to go home and let her know that I don't know all the answers. You know, is to say to her, you know, Lex, I fully don't get how to talk to you about this yet, but I'll tell you what I do know and what I do feel, and to work with her with it and let her find her own feet. You don't have to have all the answers.
I think they
don't have to be immediately on call. Like you're not a fucking Teledex of answers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? You're not. You can't expect yourself to be that.
And the way I see it is it's about connecting. Even the listening thing, for me, listening is about really connecting with what they're saying. And sometimes that includes finding out what they're saying just underneath what they're saying, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, what they're saying on the surface is one thing, but really listening is about connecting with them and understanding where they're coming from. And that becomes difficult when we can't do that for ourselves.
You know,
if we're not able to be present for ourselves, if we're not able to do that for ourselves, doing it with our kids just becomes really, it's a chore, because we don't know how to be there for that kid inside of ourselves. So I think that, you know, when people say, you know, you're a good parent, or it's about acknowledging that, like for you especially, it's about acknowledging that they're seeing that in you, because that is a part of you, you know what
Well,
I mean?
And I mean, it's important to understand the role that your partner plays in that too. Because when we had kids, you know, Ange, you know, took on the project of having kids with, you know, a ferocious appetite to understand how to really do the best that we could. And she did a lot of peaceful parenting. She, you know, was on that Facebook feed, The Way to Peaceful Parent. And her, you know, she's really, really, really done her best to be able to implement that strategy between us, and talk to me a lot about, okay, this is how we got to be peacefully parenting. You know, that was really, really magic. But we pulled together as a team, and one of the things I found was happening at the start was Andrew was correcting me all the, oh no, 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 you can, oh, and in front of the kids, you know. So then the kids started to correct me, and it's like, so I had to sit down with Ange and say, Ange, there's a time we need to talk with each other, because Ange was becoming an authority on it. But you know, there were certain things that we had to be able to pull together and say, okay, how do I, if you feel like you're getting it wrong and your partner's getting it right, then ask your partner, how do I get this right? I feel like I'm getting it wrong over here. And so I think it's important not to correct.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. It's not about correcting or not correcting. It's about sometimes having the conversation. So I think that sometimes...
Well, maybe it's my stuff. I just felt corrected a lot. I was like, you know, why do you keep correcting me in front of the kids? You know, oh, no, no, you can't. No, 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 you can't do that. No, 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 don't give
that.
Don't say that. No, do you understand that this happens? And it's like, okay, help me to understand what you're learning when they're not around, so that I can be on the same page. Because we lose pages when the kids turn up, because Ange's focus just became about the kids.
You
know, and we got to understand that that's very normal. You know, that especially with the female, in most cases, you know, the male fit. This is a reason why when the child is born, it looks like the father, because the child, when the child is born, the mother and the child are so bonded together, because the mother is the life source and force for that kid, that the father actually feels a bit rejected. You know, obviously they're not able to have sex for a number of weeks afterwards, so there's this sense of disconnection, and the father feels separated. And it's important to communicate that that's a natural part of what goes on when a kid turns up. So as a dad, my objective was, and Ange's life became very about the kids, my objective was to make sure that Ange was not losing herself in the kids, and that a little bit of that went on. You know, I told you a story about coming home and Ange was sitting on the couch with her head in her her hands, crying, going, I just can't cope. I can't do this. And that's not like Ange. Ange is a mountain, you know?
Yeah.
And I was able to say to her, look, you've given up your values. You've got to go back to the gym, start hanging out with your buddies. And so I took her down to the gym, and everybody knows the story. I took her down to the gym. She signed up. She was great. Went out with her buddies, went shopping again, you know, got herself back. Because normally what the mother thinks she has to do is just become about the child, about the child, about the child.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you lose yourself in the kid and you'll eventually become resentful.
Yeah.
And that causes things like postnatal depression, all that sort of stuff. And depression is just an inability to do what you love. Or postnatal depression is sacrificing what you love for the kid. You know, you can't do that. You've got to make sure that you maintain your life. And right from the beginning, you want to start the way you mean to end. Yeah. Meaning, you got to maintain your values because you're going to want your kids to encourage, or you're going to want to encourage your kids to do the same thing.
Yeah, of course, of course. So I just want to go back, though, in terms of the... In terms of the correcting thing, I think I see it a little differently.
She kept correcting me.
Look, that does happen sometimes.
Of course.
Because sometimes what happens is that I know that, you know, when we feel like we have an answer, we want to be able to portray the answer. I see that the best way to do that is to do what we would do in the start with the staff, or what we would do with other adults, is to be the third person and facilitate the conversation between the other two. Do you remember the day that we were at
tribal leadership?
Tribal leadership, you know, and do the triad thing. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes you and I don't get on, and sometimes we need to have a third person to come in and
but
go.
But that's always your fault.
It's always my fault. Of course it's my fault. Sometimes we need to have a third person come in to go, okay, I think Mitch is saying this, and I think you're saying this, Mills, and you're just not understanding each other. You're like AM, FM, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember the day that Lola, that I was at yours, and Lola got out of the car and she touched the car with the...
Oh, my God.
And that just annoys the shit out of you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But remember I said to her...
No, she goes, like, why is he so upset?
Why is he so upset? I'm like, just a car.
I told you not to hit the door of my door. You know,
But do you remember that day? It was like you had your thing of, you know, I don't get why a kid doesn't understand not to hit the car because... Mm. I've told her about it like 30 million times that this is important.
But you remember Lola's response.
And Lola's response was like... It's just a car. It's not important.
It's an old car. It's last year, but because it's been, you know,
it's a brand new car. Because her little brain, it's like that.
But it's an old car. Like, it's even got dust on it. What's the problem with hitting the door off the door? I'm like, Lola, please.
But my point is that in her little mind, she didn't get that.
Yeah.
So my job in that moment, because I was there, was to help facilitate the conversation between you two. I said, Lola, okay, let's turn this around. I understand that you don't get about the car because that's daddy's thing.
Mm.
But daddy loves cars. Do you know why daddy loves cars? And because, you know, when you were a kid and da-da-da-da. And then her little brain goes, yeah. And so she still doesn't understand it. So I have to facilitate it in another way by talking about her hair. What if I just chopped your hair off and da da da?
Yeah.
Oh my God, why would you do that? Well, daddy doesn't care about his hair like you care about your hair, and you don't care about the car like, you know. And it's like when the communication is broken down, I think the third person's job is to help facilitate that a little bit rather than correcting, like you said.
Yeah.
And I think that helps because I know a lot of mums out there are probably like, oh, you know, dad's at work, or the dad's mum's at work and they don't see what's happening every single day, and then they come in and then it just everything's, you know, topsy-turvy because they haven't been in this whole relationship that I've got going on. So it's about helping to facilitate rather than correcting. That's how I see it.
Oh, totally.
Well,
you know? I mean, and you know, I think, like we were saying, it's also about understanding. You're not going to get it right from the beginning, dude.
And in not getting it right, it's okay. It's like just getting that it's a process. And you know what? This process is never going to end.
Mm.
Like right now, the thing that you've got with Lexi is not the thing you got with Lola, and it's not the thing you've got with Oliver. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And that will progress over time. All of a sudden, the stuff that you're dealing with Lola will just disappear, and then Oliver will have some of those same things come up, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, like Oliver is two now, and he you know, he's really in that two stage. He's really formulating little sentences, and you know, he's got this little personality, and he gets around, and he's this little dude, and, you know, he really loves his dad. It's all daddy. And I've a mate who's just – and a client who's just had his – first little girl, and he sent me over these photos of this tiny little thing in a big huge cot, And, you know, I can fully understand how it is for him. But I remember having the conversation with him. Like, he was talking to me about how, you know, I don't feel like I'm in the groove of it, you know. And I remember going through that stuff myself. Yeah. And one of my clients actually said to me, I was saying to him, look, I just feel really, like, separate. I feel like I'm not connected with Ange through the pregnancy. And he said to me, really important thing, he said to me, just get involved, Mitch. He said, just show up. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, well, when you go home, he said, prepare the nursery. He said, go in, get the paint. He said, paint it, wallpaper it, put the curtains up. And he said, start to become a part of it, you know, yeah. And let her see that, because she's just like the baby. And in that simple action of getting involved in the, you know, the painting of the nursery really got me, because then I was like, okay, let's go get a cotton, let's go get this, and let's go get the bottles, and let's get the steam cleaners and all that sort of stuff. And at the start, you know, you're so nervous, man, and there's no manual. Like, there's no manual. But something happened inside of me that was very primitive and very primal through the preparation of Lexi turning up.
The first one.
And it was like, you just know what to do. You know, you just know what to do, and you just know how to do it. You just know the temperature to set the water. You just know how much water to put in the sink. You just know how to clean her properly to make sure her bum is clean. You just know stuff. You know when she's hungry. You know if she's going to be too hot or too cold. You know how tight to swaddle her, you know? And I was the swaddle king. I used to have swaddle-offs with my buddies, you know, who could do the best swaddle. And you know how to do all that stuff. And I think it's important for people, especially who have new kids coming, to understand it just falls
so
into
just
place.
So just trust yourself.
Yeah, it just falls into place, buddy. It's you don't need to stress out. It just happens for you every time.
Look, you know, at the end of the day, I think that the takeaway from today is just to understand that you're not going to get it right all the time.
Yeah.
And that the best thing that you can do is to work on yourself as you're dealing with whatever's going on for your kids.
Yeah, do the work. Know what I mean? Equilibrate your emotions. Stay in a point of homeostasis. Don't be poisoned. Be poised.
Yeah. Recognize what it is they're trying to show you in that moment. Yeah. Recognize how it is they're making you look.
Yeah.
Recognize what it is that you're seeing in them that you haven't maybe seen in yourself.
Yeah. Because they're designed to bring out the best in you. You know, they're designed to bring out the true you, you know, to really, really make you realize that you're extraordinary.
And honestly, Mitch, that's what I've noticed a lot about you since the kids have come along. You know, the real kid in you has come out, but also this intense love comes out that I think that you can show with these kids that perhaps you haven't been able, you maybe weren't able to show, you know, in other aspects. And it's lovely to watch if you stop and look. Mm. So I think you do a great job.
Oh, thank you very much.
You were definitely a good swaddler because I couldn't swaddle. I tell Lexi the story. Yeah. I tell her the story of me trying to swaddle her and then all of a sudden her hand would come out here and she'd giggle.
Well, she was an escape artist. She
couldn't escape your squad.
Her objective was just to get out of this thing all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So there you go.
Okay.
Cool.
All good? So you know how to be parents now. There you go. Parenting 101.
Raise a kid tomorrow.
40?
Nah, that was
35.
35? Cool.